I'm preaching a Grandmother's Day sermon tonight. Anyway, her name is Mayaka. She was a mom, but we're looking at King Asa. We looked at him last week. We're going to look at him next week, and this time we're going to be looking at his grandmother. There's a lot of interesting things about her. Not too much to emulate. So what do we do with that? I don't want it to be a downer of a sermon, right? You know, but all of us have had family tree issues. Now, I'm not talking about that tree that you climbed when you were a little kid and fell out and broke your arm. I'm not talking about problems with that family tree. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about descendants. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and so on. Great-great-grandpa, grandmother, and such. And we're going to talk about that. Because sometimes, believe it or not, we can feel a prisoner from a bad lifestyle that's been passed on to us. But can I also say that there are excellent qualities that have impacted us as well? So how do we work through this jumbled mess sometimes that we have to sort through? And I'm going to suggest every single one of us, because none of us had perfect parents, right? I'm not the only exception, right? Yeah, I didn't have perfect parents. Guess what? Juliana does not have perfect parents. She doesn't. All right? I'm working with her mom, but I'm just kidding. No, there were plenty of times, too many times, in which I dropped the ball. But no parents are perfect. So how do we deal with that? We got to look at that. But tomorrow's Mother's Day, and so I'm preaching a Mother's Day, Grandmother's Day message that's going to be a little bit different, okay? So before I do that, I want us to be able to pray. So Father, we come to you, and we recognize that your word has such power. It is truth, and it is truth that sets us free. And I just pray, as the truth is proclaimed tonight, may hearts be set free. May those who have been struggling with issues that they feel are inescapable, that you would set them free. That, Father, they are going to become, every single one of us is going to be able to become all that you have created us to be. You're going to be empowering us to walk in all the good works you've prepared in advance for us to walk in. Because that's the kind of good God that you are. You're going to help us. So, Father, I just pray, as we dial in and listen to this message tonight, as we look into your word, Spirit of God, speak to our hearts and enable our hearts with grace to respond as your Spirit desires for us to. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I know when you're growing up, it is very possible to think that what you grew up with is like normal. Some of it's good. Some of it is just not good. For example, I personally thought that every house smelled like cat litter. Because we had as many as 12 cats at one time. Yes. Okay, two mama cats giving birth at the same time was not pretty. And so we had to find homes for them. It took a little bit. But I just figured that, well, every house smells like cat litter. My next door neighbor's house did not smell like cat litter. I thought every house had a dining room table that was always just filled with stuff. My dad was a choir director. He had music piled on the end of that table. My mom had her stuff, okay? And we were always, when we had to set and clear the table, we had responsibilities, we had dish detail that we shared, and I hated it when it was my turn to set the table because I had to clear that stuff. And basically, you didn't clear it, you just piled it, right? So I just figured, well, every house has a family table that's hard to sit at, and it's cluttered. Guess what? My next door neighbor had a really clean dining room table. Couldn't believe it. I just thought, what's wrong with this? You know what? On the other hand, I thought that every home was loving. I thought that every home never harbored prejudice or racism. I didn't understand that. When I first encountered it, I was born in 61, so you know. So I went through the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement, young and not completely understanding it. And when I would see things on TV, I would think, why do people say things like that? Why did it was so foreign to me. See, my dad was a 12th grade English teacher, and my dad spent a lot of time with the kids. He was a cross-country coach and a track coach. My dad loved kids. My dad loved pouring or investing his time into kids. He wanted to coach them. He wanted them to become state at the best in their event in track and have, see kids just blossom in what they were capable of. And I realized that many parents weren't like that. Many parents didn't go to their kids' games or wrestling matches or track meets. And I just thought, how odd that my friend who has parents is here by himself. My parents, my whole family's here. And so when we grow up, we experience things and we just expect that's just the way the world is in church. So that you know, many times it is not. Asa was an amazing king. He struggled. We're going to see that next week. There are two things that he struggled with, but for the most part, the chronicler says his heart was after God. His heart was fully devoted to God. We're going to look at what that word even means. But he had a family tree problem. I'm going to read to you about that family tree problem. And it focuses on a lady by the name of Maacah. And for some of you, you have never heard a sermon on Chronicles, at least the first 10 chapters, that is like all genealogy. I'm going to share a genealogy with you tonight. And I hope that when I do this, you are going to see Asa's family tree and how it all comes together, and how does he deal with that? And how do you deal with that when it is, like, not the best-looking family tree on the block? So you're focusing on this. That's fine. But now I want you to focus on the book in front of you or your phone if you're reading. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 10 through 17. You remember they had destroyed the army of Cush about, excuse me, that was about 15 years into King Asa's kingship. The first 10 years, there were no wars at all. For the next 5 years, that's probably when he had some incursions into the northern kingdom, and it says that there were several cities in the hills of Ephraim, that's in the northern kingdom, that he took. I'm going to also assume, though the text doesn't tell us, that these incursions were instigated by the north and not by Asa himself. But he ended up doing this. He is then given a prophetic word, and the response to that prophetic word, he has this assembly that we're going to read to you right now. Verse 10, they assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. At that time, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle, 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. So this happens right after they had destroyed the Cushite army, which, if you remember, was twice as large as they were. It was clearly a God moment. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. All who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be, future tense, were to be put to death. Whether small or great, man or woman. See, there were no exceptions here. But listen. They took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting, and with trumpets and horns. Guys, I would have loved to have been there. Man, that was a celebration of God's abundant goodness that Psalm 145 talks about. I love that psalm, by the way. If you've not read it, Psalm 145, read it before you go to bed tonight. Awesome psalm. Celebrating his abundant goodness. All Judah rejoiced about the oath. They rejoiced about the promise they had just made with God to seek him with all of their heart and soul. All Judah? All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. That is, with all their heart. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. I'm not done. Verse 16. King Asa also deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut the pole down, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. That's the valley at the foot of Mount Zion, which is at the top of which is Jerusalem. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel. That's the northern kingdom. He removed them, we found out last chapter. What verse was that? Verse 3, 4? He removed them in Judah, but he did not remove them in Israel. That was outside his jurisdiction. But remember that many from Ephraim came to this assembly. So hopefully when they went back, hey, they're in another territory. He doesn't rule that land. But they need to do this too. So although he did not remove the high places from Israel, he's in Judah, Asa's heart, listen, was fully committed to the Lord all his life. Maacah. We don't know a lot about Maacah. We don't know a lot about who she was. We do know enough about her genealogy, and we're going to see certain patterns in her family tree that she took on. And Asa said to himself, in essence, I will not follow in that family tree tradition anymore. I'm cutting it off. Now, I'm just going to give you a hint here. In response to this oath, what were they supposed to do? They were to put to death anyone that did not join in this oath. Maacah joined in this oath. But 5 years ago, her grandson Asa had gone through, and we learn about this last chapter, verses 3 and 4. Check out chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. He got rid of the sacred stones, which were a form of worship for Baal. Asherah, in the Canaanite pantheon, Asherah, they're not sure if she was married to El, which would be the daddy, or if she was married to Baal. They're still figuring this out, but regardless, she is part of that Canaanite pantheon and as much of a part of it as Baal was. So Asa got rid of all of these idols. And over the next 5 years, what did his grandmother do? She had made an Asherah pole. They were all destroyed, but 5 years later, guess what we find? She has an Asherah pole. She is worshiping idols. and her heart was not fully committed to the Lord. Now, I'm going to suggest that at this time, there is some semblance, at least a show, of turning away from that. Otherwise, she would have been put to death. We don't know if she truly repented. The text doesn't tell us. It only gives us a picture inside of her heart of idolatry and, may I suggest, serious rebellion as the queen mother. Why? Where did that come from? So here's what I want to do. I want us to just take a moment. I want us to look at her family tree. So from here over, let's worry about that later. Here's David, King David. King David had many sons. One of them was Amnon. One of them was Absalom. One of them, much later, however, was Solomon. There was probably a 15-year or more difference between these two brothers, half-brothers. Solomon's mom's name was, you might remember, Bathsheba. Absalom's mother, meaning she was married to David, was Maacah. A different Maacah than here, but Maacah was her name. She was the princess of Gera, I believe it is. Her dad was the king of that little province, and David married her. I'm going to assume that she had a heart for Yahweh. But over here, we see Solomon, you might remember, Rehoboam, that's his son. Abijah reigns for only 3 years, and then Asa steps into the kingship, no doubt a very young man. He reigns for 41 years. David also gives birth to Absalom. Absalom should have been the next king. Not because he was the crown prince, he was not. But he had killed his brother Amnon, so he was out of the way because Amnon had slept with his sister. His sister Tamar. I didn't write her name up there. So he gave birth to a daughter, Tamar, and named it after his sister. Are you following me here? So again, because there's numerous moms involved in this, it can get a bit confusing. They are half-brothers. So he murders Amnon. It's a whole plot. It's first-degree murder. Malice aforethought. He planned it with malice. First-degree murder. He has a daughter. But the scriptures also tell us that he had three sons. This is in Kings. A little bit later in Kings, Absalom, who's mourning over his situation that I'm not going to get into, he says, I have no sons and only a daughter. And all the theologians figure his three sons, the only way this could happen is if his three sons died when they were youths. I want you to think about that for a moment. If you're Absalom, how would you feel if you were in the line to become king? Now, he does not become king. Get there in just a moment. But all three of your sons die when they're young. I don't know if they die when they're children, when they're teens. They die. What heartache. First, we learn that his sister is raped. And he's so filled with bitterness from this. And then his three sons later die. Can you imagine the mounted bitterness in his heart? And later, Absalom figures, even though he murdered Amnon and he fled, he came back and his dad kind of accepted him back, kind of. He has this plan that he will become king. And he usurps his father's authority, and there's this huge celebration and fanfare as he is now coronated king in Hebron, which is further south than Jerusalem. And he marches on Jerusalem, and David has to flee. His father, the king, has to flee as Absalom usurps the throne. Shortly after that, a war follows and Absalom is killed. So we see a few things in Absalom's life. We see that he murdered his brother because of anger that his brother slept. I mean, this is a mixed up and a messed up family tree, by the way. And may I suggest, it all goes back to David's issue with Bathsheba. That was not his wife at the time, but Uriah's. And then he had Uriah the Hittite killed. So he murders his brother, his three sons die, he rebels against his father, the king, and so he then has a daughter by the name of Tamar who marries Uriel, and their daughter is Maacah. So Maacah's grandfather is Absalom. In some text, you'll see that it says Maacah, daughter of Absalom, or another Hebrew way of saying it is Abishalom. Regardless, same name. And that word daughter can simply mean female descendant. Just like son can mean male descendant at times. Usually it means son or daughter. Sometimes, though, it means male descendant or female descendant. You follow me. So I'm just kind of clarifying that if you're reading through Chronicles and you say, son of what? Wait a second. So Absalom is the grandfather. How do you think this is going to impact his granddaughter? I tell you what. If you ever watch anything from England about the Queen and the royal family, it is like when you go into public, you act a certain way. There is no other way to act. We're not going to dialogue about this. This is the way it is. That is the pressure placed on any royal family. You must, in public, be a certain way. And you are trained to do this. I'm suggesting this because it's not like Maacah just kind of grew up and did whatever she wanted. No. And as a result, there are certain qualities in her life that she acquires that is just like Grandpa. Just like Absalom. The very first thing that I want to bring her attention to is that Maacah did not respond with her heart as the rest of the assembly did. She's the grandmother. Her son reigned only 3 years. She feels cheated. Many times a queen mother will somehow try to control the throne of either her son or her grandson. And I can only imagine with Abijah dying after only 3 years on the throne, that pressure fell to King Asa. We look at Absalom's life. He was bitter. He was angry. He did not accept authority. There was rebellion. And we see the very same attitude in Maacah. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you find someone whose life is filled with bitterness, whose heart is despising of authority, you're going to find some serious problems. Number one, even though the rest of those gathered in this assembly declare with an oath, we are going to seek God with all of our heart and all of our soul. The chronicler, the way he words the very next verse, describing Maacah, it appears that if there is any kind of outward sign of, yes, I'm engaging, I'm surrendering wholeheartedly to, she truly had not. I'm going to assume, but the text doesn't tell us, that the reason why she was not put to death was not because she was the queen mother, but rather because there was an outward show. And then Asa said, then we're going to need to get rid of this Asherah pole, Mom. Grandma, it's gone. We see, number one, and for some reason, I do not have my pen up here. Number one, I'm not going to be able to write it. she did not truly seek God. That was the big thing about this covenant, this oath. We are seeking God with all of our heart. No idols. We're pursuing God. And church, I'm going to tell you, if you ever want your life to change, it has to start there. We cannot just verbalize repentance. It has to come from the heart. It must. One of the main problems of children growing up in Christian homes is that they can learn the outward, but not the inward. And moms and dads, it is so crucial that we instill the heart of seeking God and not just the outward. Oh, we've got to go to church. All in favor of that being a house rule. But at some point, the child must internalize these things. If they don't, their Christianity is simply outward and it is not in the heart. And so Mayaka, I'm going to assume it seems it's outward. She doesn't seek God. Number two, she's rebellious. Her grandson had gotten rid of all of the idols, and she felt as if she was above the law, and she had made for herself another Asherah pole. She's just going to do it anyway. Who does my grandson think he is? Hang on, Grandma. I think I'm the king. And he had her deposed. He could not allow her to stay in her position of authority, having rebelled against him, even though outwardly it's possible that there was a sign of repentance. If she was now going to walk out true repentance, it was not going to be in a place of authority. She was rebellious. Now, I want to take you to a verse that Samuel shared with King Saul. And he said, rebellion is like, do you remember? The sin of witchcraft. Rebellion and the occult go hand in glove. Let's see, she was rebellious and she had an Asherah pole. Makes a lot of sense. She didn't truly seek after God. She was involved in the occult. Makes a lot of sense. I'm going to suggest there may well have been bitterness. Her son, who was king, died after 3 years. And she still did not come to the throne. Now we're going to learn a little bit later in the history of Judah, not too far removed from Asa, one of his lady descendants does usurp the throne. We'll get to that a little bit in several weeks. She didn't. She couldn't. And I imagine that she walked in anger and bitterness and rebellion, and it showed. Now, here is my point. Her grandson said, I'm sorry. Not on my watch. I'm sorry. But you know what? You no longer have your place of authority. You are no longer welcomed in decision-making in this kingdom ever again. And Asa made a hard choice to stand opposed to evil and say, I refuse to be a part or even associated with that wicked family line. With that wicked family tree, those roots of sin that could affect him and infect him. No, because he was afraid it would also infect his kingdom. And he took being king very seriously. Remember, he'd been king for 15 years. I'm going to guess he's probably, I'm guessing right now, probably around 35. We don't know for sure. Doesn't say how old he was when he started to reign. Remember, he reigns 41 years. 15th year, Queen Mother is deposed. How do we respond like Asa? How do we come against that family tree that is poisonous? I'm not suggesting, remember, he didn't put his grandma to death. I'm not suggesting we necessarily just shove them out. I have to admit, there are rare times in which family members can become so toxic that you cannot expose your family to that. I get that. That is the exception rather than the rule. There is usually another way. So I'm going to share that with you. And this is some of the things that we see here. Number one, you need to recognize that thread, that lifestyle, that habit, that way of living that is sinful and has been passed down. You need to recognize the family tree and say no. And I'm just going to suggest to you, that is hard. I expected every family, every house to smell like cat litter. I truly did. Man, was I wrong. Guess what, church? My house doesn't smell like cat litter. It does not. But we don't have 11 or 12 cats either. It is hard to recognize something that you grow up with that is wrong. It's also hard to, you just assume that it's right. At some point, Asa recognized this rebellion that was a part of his family tree, and he said, no. Rehoboam, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, all of them had rebelled against having the heart of David, a man after God's own heart. Some more, some less. So I'm just going to suggest to you, learn to identify what those attitudes are, those beliefs, those actions that are wrong, those are sinful. That's a tall order. It's a hard thing to do. But you need to be able to do that. If you're a mom or a grandma today, join the human race, even the Christian human race that has made mistakes. I've made plenty of them. I've made enough to pass around, okay? More than I need to. So you're not alone. But that's not the end of it. Being a grandparent, you still have the potential to, in a very positive way, impact your grandchildren. I love being a granddad. I loved being a dad. I had 5 kids. I loved it. I loved every stage, from the poopy diaper stage to even at some points dealing with rebellion in a teenager's heart. Just learning to cross that bridge, learning to love in those hard times to love. And I can't say I did it perfectly. But I refuse to be a victim of how I was raised. My dad had a serious anger issue. There was a time one night he came downstairs, and this is what we kids do, 4 kids in one big, it was a single car garage that was turned into a bedroom. 2 bunk beds, 4 kids. We talked when mom and dad went to bed. We would tell stories. We would try to be really quiet. But what happens when you tell a funny joke and everybody starts laughing? And my dad heard it. He came downstairs and he would, I don't know if he was just play acting or what, but he would just have this angry face. Oh, but one time he was over the top angry. And when he left, he turned around and he put his fist right through the wall. Could have broken his hand if he hit a stud. Back then, they didn't have metal studs that might have been able to give a little bit. These were 2x4 wooden studs, so if he hit one, it would have broken his hand. He missed it. Now, maybe he knew exactly where to punch on the wall and measured it. Okay, hang on. Okay, bam. I don't know. I'm just kidding. He put his fist right there, and he left it there for us to look at every night. I am not suggesting that. I'm not exactly sure. That is the best way to instill respect for dad's orders. My dad had an anger issue. I grew up, guess what, with a serious anger issue. When I became a Christian and I got into fights, of course, it was my brother's fault. I was innocent. Right? I mean, you guys can relate to that, right? Whenever you were in a fight with your sibling, of course it was their fault. And so you had to go tell mom and dad, you know what? It's not my fault. And they're wondering, it's not your fault about what? Then you got into the story. But you had to beat it to mom and dad before your sibling did, right? Because you thought, well, the first one there wins. Anyway, God had to show me otherwise, that I had anger issues, and God had to set me free. And so the first thing we need to do is recognize that thread, recognize that habit that's passed down. And number two, guys, we need to just simply repent. That means change your heart, but then walk in the fruit of that repentance. The reason why John the Baptist railed on the Pharisees is because their repentance was outward, and he said, bring forth the fruit of your repentance. And he could have gone on to make it clear, because I don't see any of it. And please don't tell me, what are you talking about? I am a child of Abraham. Why, I'm a Jew just like you. I'm a follower of God. What are you talking? I don't need to be baptized in your water. And John said, you know what? God can raise up stones to be what you are, children of Abraham. So we need to repent and we need to turn away from those. Number three, we need to respect those in authority. I had to learn to respect my dad. I could go into other stories, things that my dad did to display his anger. And at points, he got abusive. I had to forgive him, but I had to respect him and love him. And I managed to have a good relationship with my dad all my life. And we got to talk about some of his anger issues when I got into my 20s, late teens. And he was open with me. And he shared some horrible things that happened to him when he was a kid, just growing up, and the hurts that he received, but how he mismanaged them. But learn to respect those, even though you do not admire and you are distancing yourself from that behavior. There's forgiveness. There's love. And then number four, seek God with all your heart and remove the idols in your life. That's how you do it. If you're going to seek God with all your heart, you need to look around and find out, well, then what in my life tends to take the place of God? When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus, in essence, says, you got to follow me. But he doesn't start off with that. He says, do you keep this command, this command, this command, this command? And he leaves one out. And the rich young ruler says, oh, yeah, I'm crossing his T's, dotting his I's. Check that box, check that box. I'm good to go. I got heaven in the bag. And Jesus says, okay, but hang on. One last thing that you need to do. You need to sell everything that you have and give it all away. And man, did that pack a punch, because the rich young ruler had an idol. And Jesus said, when you have done all of that, then follow me. In other words, do you want to have eternal life? You've got to follow me. But Jesus is saying, but you cannot have other gods in your life. It's either me or them. You can't serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other, or despise the one and cling to the other. That's what he taught. You cannot serve two masters. So who's it going to be? I'm going to help you out here. Get rid of your God. Get rid of this idol. Get rid of this God that you constantly are absorbed in and lean on for all of your problems in life. When you do that, now you can with your heart truly follow me, because I am second to none. First place and only. That's the way this works, church. When you come to Jesus, it's not like you never have idols again in your life. Maacah's Asherah pole was destroyed But 5 years later, she rebuilt it. And we can do this. And so I'm encouraging you. Seek God with all of your heart. With all of your heart. And remove the idols. The blessing was that God gave them rest. I mean, what mom or grandmom wouldn't want rest? You follow me? Number one on their list for Christmas, rest. Yes. Can I just also just throw this in, cute little phrase saying that I heard this past week? Because you need to be careful who you marry, by the way. All right? Be really, really careful who you marry. It's not that they were married, they're not. But Rehoboam marrying Maacah. Be careful who you marry. I've heard it said if you marry a child of the devil, you will have problems with your father-in-law. Think about that one. And so here's what we need to do. We need to graciously distance ourselves, not necessarily from the people, but from the habits. Recognize them. Turn away from them. Seek God. And then when you do this, your children, your grandchildren will see this. And how you choose to live your life, ladies, since it's Mother's Day, I'm going to preach to you right now. I'm going to close in like 1 minute. How you choose to live your life will impact them more than your words will. God didn't proclaim salvation from heaven. He came to earth and he lived it. He lived a sacrificial, poured out life, and then died for our salvation. And I'm going to suggest that if you live it, even though maybe you have followed in this family tree and you've been caught in these strangleholds and now you're separating yourself, make a clear and clean break and live for Jesus. And that's going to impact them. Can I just tell you that I know in being a dad, I took how I modeled Christianity very seriously. And Meredith, how she modeled Christianity very seriously. And when we faced issues, financial issues, we realized we needed to walk through this in a way that caught our children's attention and allowed God to show how strong he is. We wanted to show off God. We didn't purposely step in the bath, okay, God, rescue us now and let our kids see just how strong you are. No. I didn't need to create those. They just happened. You track me? Starting the business. I'm running into summer weather. And Meredith is home with the kids. I am actually 4 hours away starting the business, Monday through Thursday. And she says, kids, let's pray for Daddy. And Juliana, modeling her mom, starts praying. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think, didn't she march around? If she's not marching around, she is like a general saying, God, make it rain all around my daddy, but not where he's working. I mean, how many of you as kids would have prayed such a silly prayer? Really? I mean, just pray it doesn't rain. No. Let it rain all around Dad, but not where he's working. Guess what happened that afternoon as I'm spraying? And when you're spraying, that's when it's crucial. It can't rain. And I've got to get this job done. All of these jobs. And I'm just looking around, and there's a rain cloud over here, and there's a rain cloud. You know how you can tell there's rain clouds. It's not just because the clouds are dark, but because there is a sheet of gray that you can't see through. You know it's raining, and it's raining over here. And within a half an hour to an hour, now it's raining over here, and it's raining over here. All afternoon was like this, and it rained all around me. But church, guess where it did not rain? Not one drop. That was a crucial day. I hope it was a more crucial day for my children, Because when I was on the phone that day, I said, Meredith, guess what? It didn't rain at all where I was. And I prayed, and guess what? It rained all around me, but it didn't rain where I was. And Meredith laughed. And I said, this wasn't a joke. And she said, no, you got to listen. And she told me the story about Julianus praying. Okay? There was another time in which we were going through hard times, and I really have taken providing for my family seriously. Can't say I've made buku bucks, but I've made enough to provide. And the business wasn't doing well, and I could not provide. Every month the same, short. God provided, but I just said, I need this breakthrough. The stress was hard. And I remember just sitting on the stairs, and I said, kids, I need you to pray over Daddy. And I just knelt down in the middle of the family room, and all of my kids gathered around Daddy and laid their hands on me. And they just began praying, God, please bless Daddy's business. Please, God, come through. I'm sure one of them said, because God, I want more toys. They prayed in their little children innocent way, and some of them were older, and so, you know, I'm sure Juliana was there. Okay, God, this is what we need to see happen. All right, God, this is we're okay, good. And when she just prayed with that authority, right? And I go to work the next day, and that week was an absolute blessed week. And it was the last week of the month. I was so far behind. By the end of that week, I had made enough money to cover the 3 weeks prior that were so bad. And I got to tell my kids this. So, Mom and Dad, I've gone over time. I just need you to listen. If God is just changing your heart this week, today, this year, recently, understand the wealth of blessing that God can give you and how much he can so change you that you can live for him and it will truly impact your children and your grandchildren. Can you believe that? That's just the God that we serve. He's a God of grace, of forgiveness, yes, and he will empower you and your life will impact your family tree. Can you stand with me? Father, tomorrow is Mother's Day, and I just want to confess to you, Lord, you blessed me with a wife that is such an amazing, amazing, amazing mom, and I'm so grateful for her, Lord. I thank you that she has put up with me, wow, like almost 40 years now in marriage. And she's been such a testimony in how she's lived her life and how she's trained her children. And I'm just so glad that I've been able to be a part of that. But Father, there's so many moms here and even grandmoms. Would you honor them this weekend? Would you give them the grace that they need to be able to walk all of this out and to be able to see how their lives can be lived in a way that truly is marked by Christ and the power of his resurrection and impact them forever. To leave behind that precious legacy. So I just ask you, Father, would you do this? And for us who have moms, would you lay it on our heart how we can best honor them, respect them, and bless them tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray.